Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Safe here with Mike Gary, and I think we are in for a really terrific show today, Mike. This is right up your alley. But before we get to Mike Appel, who was an American music industry manager and producer, I want to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs. Great games over the weekend. The final four are Lions, 49ers, Ravens, Kansas City. The two number one seeds are still alive. I thought that every game, with the exception of the Ravens taking over in the third quarter and putting some distance in between them, all the other games were great. Kansas City, Buffalo. We're getting used to this kind of a game every year between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Yeah, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, apparently friends off the field, but great competitors on the field. Your San Francisco 49ers, even though not necessarily a great game by Brock Purdy, still came out with a W.
He did. He had to get his job done, establish his own legacy. Those late fourth quarter game-winning drives are made for those persons' legacies. Unbelievable. The 49ers, without Debo Samuel, hopefully he'll be able to play, still in question. The Lions will be a big task. They're playing extremely well. And Kansas City, with Patrick Mahomes, going 6-for-6 now, 6 years in the league, going to the AFC Championship for the sixth year in a row. Brock Purdy is returning for his second year in a row. And, of course, you saw the injury that took the 49ers out of that game with Philadelphia last year. Hopefully that will be a different result this time around. And Jim Harbaugh, fresh off a national championship in Michigan, jumps the ship and goes to the Chargers.
Yeah, there's been certain rumors swirling that perhaps he's got one foot out the door before the NCAA comes in and sanctions them. And also, I'd be interested to see if you see what happened in Alabama after Saban left, where you're going to see a mass exodus of players through the transfer portal.
Right, and Washington, of course, loses their head coach, and all of their skilled players are now either in the transfer portal or are declaring for the draft. So that's what college football looks like today, fans. I hope you're getting used to it. It's tough. It's going to be really interesting as to how this all works out in the end. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back with Mike Appel right after this.
Fred Dreyer here, the Heartburn Hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
How do you feel right now? Let me tell you something. A couple of months ago, I made a change to my diet. I used to drink coffee. In fact, I've drank coffee my entire life. But then I got a hold of some pomegranate super tea from getthetea.com. Almost immediately, I felt better in the morning, and I felt better throughout the day as well. With coffee, it seemed like the energy would be there for a little while, and then I'd feel drained until I could get a snack later in the day. When I started drinking super tea, I noticed immediately that my energy was sustained for a lot longer of a period throughout the day, and I felt better and clean, and that helped my mental acuity as well. So I highly recommend you try one of their teas. They've got all kinds of great tea choices too. Senna, Super Strength Cleansing Tea, Pomegranate Super Tea, Peppermint Super Tea, and if you order now through the end of the month, you'll get 10% off by using the keyword CRN. So do yourself a favor. Get the tea at getthetea.com. 10% off with the keyword CRN. Getthetea.com.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's Fresh Produce Box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
They still call me the Penguin.
And we're back after the break. We'll see about that. And our next up is Mike Pell, our guest for today's podcast. And Mike will be receiving a beautiful gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at Melissa's.com. And here we go. Mike Pell. You have had a really kind of a balanced career in the music industry. Played the guitar. You've been a manager, producer. Played in a number of bands. You've got a guy here that knows a lot more about music than I do, with my co-host. Mike Gary, and Mike is probably going to take over the show from me today, which I'm gladly able to do. But Mike, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you. And how did a young guy get involved in music at such an early age? Where was the heartbeat of this starting?
Well, my mother was a great singer, actually, and my father thought she was actually going to take Dinah Shore's place. And that almost happened, but my mother decided just to opt out of the music business altogether to have more children, which was silly because she already had three children, and who needed another three children? I mean, on top of the three she already had, so she opted out, and that was I think a terrible mistake that she made because she was a killer singer. And I know about killer singers. I know what my strengths and other things that don't work so well for me when it comes to singing. And I'm a pretty good singer at that. When I say pretty good, I'm not like them, you know, I'm more like in the Everly Brother, you know, kind of mix, you know, not the strong, you know, minister or stuff like that Springsteen can, you know, produce. I know a good singer when I see one and hear one. And my mother was just that. She was good looking too. She looked like Elizabeth Taylor. So, I mean, she had everything going for her. So it was a shame that she opted out. And I think she even caused diseases in her own life by doing that. I mean, I think that there's something, some truth to if someone has a great ability and they shun that, or stifle that in any way, that they actually kill something inside of them. The natural immunization system somehow is usurped by that very thing, and that caused the cancer that did kill her eventually. I mean, I imagined her watching, you know, Dinah Shore every time she was on during the week on that Dinah Shore Chevy show. And, you know, I mean, just having to stifle the misery of missing out on that, I just think was a terrible thing that she brought upon herself. But it is what it is. And all I can say is that she was a killer singer and sung with some great hip people back in the days there. My father and I used to go and see her sing. And so if it's my father's tone deaf, he may have a high IQ, but he's tone deaf. My mother is where I get all my, if I have any great talents in the music world, it comes from strictly from my mother. And that's where it started. Okay. It started like there, but I had moved out to Old Brookville from Valley Stream, Malvern actually. I was out in horse country and I got involved with a couple of people that lived near me and we ended up buying some Stratocaster guitars I forget the name, Horland, something in Horland, which was a music store in Manhattan on, I think it was Central Park South. It was on the Park, South Park. I can't remember the exact, the darn address on the place, but it was near the Brooklyn Bridge. And that's where we ordered our first, guitars. And then we, of course, had to try to start learning it from, you know, just hearing records on the radio and buying them in the stores and trying to learn from scratch and, you know, and deal with the getting calluses on your hand, you know, and all the things you have to do if you're going to be, you know, a musician. You had to go through that process. We did all that. And then we started, we got lucky. I used to caddy at a club called the Piping Rock Club, which is a blue blood club out on Long Island and was built in 1912. And I got to be friendly with the manager of the club. And he actually said to me, "Did you ever play golf here? I see you here, but do you ever play golf?" I said, "Oh yeah. I'm a pretty good golfer. I'm a scratch golfer." And I said, "But I play in a band, and I just made some music." He said, "Did you make any demos?" And it struck me so odd that he actually used the word demos, because, I mean, that's a word that's used in the 1619 Broadway and 1650 Broadway and 1697 Broadway, but certainly not at the Piping Rock Club, okay? Nobody ever uses the word demos there. Mm. So in any case, all I can say is that I said, "Yes, I'm going to make some demos, and would you be interested in listening to them?" He said, I certainly would be, so let me know when you have them. So a couple of weeks went by. We made some demos. I think we made them in 1650. There was a recording studio in the basement there, not Associated. That was a different one. That was in 729 7th Avenue. This one was in 1650 Broadway. Bruce Staples was the guy that actually ran it and owned it. I can't think of it'll come to me as I say.
Those addresses, Mike, you're mentioning, that those were the Songwriters Alley, the Brill Building and others, correct?
Oh, yeah. My mother sang, oddly enough, in the Brill Building, and that's where I started. I actually started. In other words, what I'm leading up to here is something about with Piping Rock. But what actually happened to me is I wandered first into 1650, but then some guy said to me, "Why don't you go over to Hugo and Luigi in the Brill Building? They're always looking for young guys like you with talent and blah blah blah." So I went over there, I looked them up, and I ran into Hugo and Luigi and played them some songs and Question of Temperature was one of them, and they said they liked that. And they'd love to see me go do that and go in the studio and see how it came out and all that. And it came out very well. And they signed me. Hugh and Luigi wrote, Can't Help Falling in Love for Elvis. They wrote, the Lion Sleeps Tonight for the Tokens, and produced loads of records, loads of hits for Jimmy Rogers and a load of other people.
Sam Cooke.
What's that?
They wrote a lot of Sam Cooke's big hits.
They produced all of Sam Cooke's hits. Sam actually wrote the songs, but they produced every single one of his hits.
Yeah, he was
so
amazing.
They had a real, smorgasbord of hit songs from Perry Como to Sam Cooke, if you will. And that's where I worked. I mean, I worked in the same rooms where those songs were written, and a host of other songs. I got to be very friendly with Lieber and Stoller. Mike Stoller and Jerry Lieber produced a group for them in Nashville. And those guys wrote, Hound Dog and Jailhouse Rock for Elvis. And there was another guy in the building that I forget his name now, can't remember his name, but he wrote Roustabout, and he wrote Devil in Disguise.
That's a great one. Mike, hold on one second. We're up against a break, but just to, for the audience out there, the Brill Building, so much talent came out of there. Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel, so many great songs, so many great hits, including some of the great hits that Mike, our guest, composed, produced, and played all the instruments on. So stick around, you guys. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ronce. And we have returned after the break, and I have a quick website read. Thank you for supporting our show. Please visit our website, theronce.com, and see our lineup of future guests, list to all of our shows, and our latest merch. Stay tuned for the new arrivals and their pop-ups. Okay, we're back with Mike Appel, and I have a question about... Question of temperature.
Yes, yes. Sorry, it's okay. Listen, I've known this song for a long time. I was just telling Mike off the air that it always reminded me of Halloween. There's something about this late 60s, mid 60s, psychedelica, garage sounding, a lot of echo, a lot of fuzz. And that was the first song, the first project you did for Hugo and Luigi, correct?
Yes, it was.
And you... wrote, recorded, and played all the instruments, and that was a top 40 hit.
Yes, it was. Yeah, on Billboard. Yes, it did make it reach number 37, actually.
Wow. And then, so moving along, you also would produce and co-wrote for a great early metal band that actually toured with Black Sabbath, Sir Lord Baltimore. And then you met along, you came in contact with Carl Tinker West. And let's start getting into the Bruce Springsteen, because you, Mr. Mike Appel, produced his first two records, co-produced his third records, and was instrumental in making Bruce Springsteen the star he was today. How did that all start?
Well, it started right with the way you say, Tinker. Carl Virgil West Jr. is his real name. But he had done some work with me when I was working with Lieber and Stoller. I had a group called Montana Flintlock, and they were very much like a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young knockoff, which was good and it was bad. It was good because they sounded so much like them. I mean, you were drawn to them if you liked Crosby, Stills, and Nash & Young, which I did. But obviously, you can't copy.
Exactly.
A big success. You want to have your own individual voice. They didn't, but they were so good. I just loved their songs. And I mean, they were every bit as good as songwriters, too, as Stephen Stills. But again, man, I went down there and I even used Weldon Myrick, who was the pedal steel guitar player on Neil Young's Harvest album, Art of Gold.
Right.
He was a terrific, terrific guy, and they have a whole special way down in Nashville, the way they write down their chord changes. It's like numbers, and I guess it's because the songs are somewhat simplistic that you can get away with much of that, but the fact is it's a very, very quick way of learning a song, and Weldon Myrick, kind of taught me that. And I really appreciate it because it helped me a lot. And when I did any country sessions, which I did over the years, to get back, we finished that album, brought it back to Lieber and Stoller, and Lieber and Stoller ended up getting in a fight with their partners in Nashville at the Start A King record company, and so the album got shelved. And it never came out, but it was funny because I was playing some of their cuts at a studio called Vantone out in West Orange, New Jersey, and Bruce happened to be there that day, and he heard some of their songs, and I know that he was very impressed by them. And it was like he felt like when he heard that, I felt, without him mentioning it, that, he wanted to be with me because he wanted to be with guys that he felt were hip and really understood music and could emulate it so that if you had a hit in your satchel, Mike Appel might be able to, get it out and get it on a radio station somewhere. So, That's how I think it started with Bruce. But that was after a first meeting I had with – actually, no, it wasn't. I don't even think I was introduced to Bruce at that time. Okay. He just happened to be there. And I remember seeing that guy there. And I remember him being impressed by it because I could see him being into the music as he was listening to it. But Tinker brought Bruce back later on in a formal meeting with myself. And he came up to the West Farrell organization, which is where I was earning a living, being a songwriter and a producer and a publisher, co-publisher in many cases, with West Farrell. West Farrell, great guy, fun guy, and wrote a lot of big hits and produced a lot of big hits in his time. I mean, I even remember one time when I walked in my my writer's room, there was a guy lying on the floor, and it was Richard Harris, who had just had that big hit, MacArthur Park, and Wes had gotten the follow-up record to that record. And I remember waking him up, and he said, "Oh, this your room?" I said, "Well, it's my writer's room. You could stay here." He said, "No. I'll get up and go straight away," in that big accent of his. And it was a blanket over him. And it's so funny because if you go back to the movie Gladiator, where he's in that movie with Joaquin Phoenix and I forget the other guy.
Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yes. Russell Crowe. And he says, "Could you give an old man a blanket?" He says to Russell Crowe. And I felt just like that, you know, when I look back upon that time, you know, with that gentleman and that movie, it's like funny that he should use that, and that should still be in that movie. Like it's just something that I can't get away from because he's got such a distinctive voice and accent that you can't mistake him for being who he is. In any case, Bruce comes up with Tinker. He sits down at the piano. I'm sitting on the piano bench with him, and Tinker is standing right behind us. And he does two songs, one about a deaf, dumb, and blind girl. They danced all night to a silent band. That line sort of jumped out at me. But that was it. There was nothing else but that. And I told him, I said, "Well, geez, you want an album deal, don't you?" He says, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Well, you're going to have to, you know, have about 15 songs, and then we'll cut it down to maybe 11, 12 songs, and that'll be the stuff of the album." I said, "You understand that?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He says, "I do." I said, "Well, look," I said, "those two songs aren't nothing to write mother about." And he said, "Well," he said, "you know, I'm going back to California for the Christmas holidays," and he says, "I'll write the songs out there and I'll come back with those songs that you're looking for." I said, "That's great. The door's always open." And that was it. He left. In February of 1972, he calls up. I didn't even remember who he was, actually. And so I was balking with the secretary, who kept saying, "Well, he says he knows you, Mike." I said, "Well, I don't know any Bruce Springsteen." And then he mentioned Tinker's name. When he mentioned Tinker's name, I said, "Oh, that guy." So I picked up the phone. We almost didn't make it, but I picked up the phone and said, "Oh, hi, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. You got those songs?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "When can you make it?" He says, "I can make it today." I said, "Okay, 5 o'clock. How's that?" He says, "Perfect." He comes up at 5 o'clock and he blows me out the door. Blows me out the door. He plays like 7 or 8 songs. Every one is better than the other one. So I'm saying to myself, you know, did the Sisters of the Muse, you know, anoint him from the last time I saw this guy to today? I said, I guess so, because I never heard such great songs and great lyrics that just crushed me. I mean, you know, I'm a lyric head. That's my forte as well when I write. I'm no Paul McCartney. I wish I was. I'd be king of the world if I could ever write melodies with that guy. But him and Burt Bacharach, they're killer, you know, melody writers. They really can't write their way out of a paper bag. That's why they, you know, use him. That's why there's a John Lennon. That's why there's a what's the other guy that wrote with Bert? Hal David. In any case, I said, look, and there was another writer in the room. He was a book writer, Bob, I forget his last name now. He's so long ago. He used to work for me. But in any case, everybody in the room was impressed with them. And I said, well, I'd like to, you know, see if we could, take care of your career needs, publishing, production, management, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I'd like that. And then I said, but actually, I didn't say management because I didn't know beans about management. So I didn't mention management. He mentioned it. He said, after he signed his publishing and production contracts, he said, well, who's going to manage me? I said, well, I don't know anything about management. He said, why don't you try it? Well, you know, he says, I'm probably not rocket scientist. I said, it probably is not. But I said, you know, I just want you to know I don't know the first thing about it. He said, well, let's do it. I said, okay, let's do it. We'll do it. I don't want that to stop me. So in any case, we signed the management contract. And then I was trying to reach Clive Davis at Columbia Records to set up a meeting to hear him, just like I heard him. And but Clive was out of town in California. And so I said, no, I don't want to wait till he comes back. I have to sit around and wait. So I was very impatient, and I called John Hammond Sr. I discovered Bob Dylan and a host of others from, Bessie Smith on up. And Elizabeth, his secretary, said she sensed a certain urgency in my voice.
It says, yeah, hold that thought real fast, Mike. We're right up against a break. We're going to get right back to this after the break. Stay with us, guys.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California, subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving, generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 biggie bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 biggie bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
The new year is a great time to have a conversation with your teen about building positive online habits. Visit Meta's Family Center to see the many tools that exist to help teens and families manage their time online. The site includes expert-backed guidance to support teens in having positive online experiences and tips for parents and caregivers. Some of the tools include a full-screen reminder after teens have spent a few minutes on Instagram Reels late at night, and notifications to look at something different if they've been scrolling the same topic for a while. And quiet mode gives teens more ways to focus and set boundaries with friends and family. Parents can set time limits for their child and be notified when their teen reports or blocks someone. There are also supervision tools that give visibility into how much time their teen spends on Instagram, Facebook, and in virtual reality. For more information, visit familycenter.meta.com. Sponsored by Meta.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back. We'll see about that. Real brief, this day in Dodger history. 1967, the 12-man veteran committee chaired by former baseball commissioner Ford Frick announces its selection of the late catcher and baseball executive and great humanitarian Branch Rickey, best known for integrating the major leagues. Okay, let's get back to our guest, Mr. Mike Appel. And I have to say that this is probably one of the highlights of my career, because I'm a big music guy, and Mr. Mike Appel not only is a tremendous singer and songwriter, composer, lyricist, producer, engineer, but also pretty much discovered Bruce Springsteen. Okay, Mike, so you started your company, you signed Bruce for management and production, and now you're shopping him around. You take him to, apparently, allegedly took him to Atlantic, and Atlantic passed. I'm sure that Tom Dowd really didn't appreciate that. And so now you're on the cusp of getting Bruce signed to Columbia. Please take it away.
Yes. So Elizabeth, John's secretary, said she felt a little something in my voice that prompted her to pencil us in John's schedule. And when John saw it, he said, well, who are these birds? And she said, I think you should take the meeting. I just have a feeling about them. And he did. John, myself, Bruce, and my partner at the time, Jimmy Credicus. So we enter the room. Bruce just has his guitar. And he sits down, and I start to talk. And I tell him, you know, I'm a lyricist myself, and I can't write like this guy. This guy is just writing reams of stream of conscious at night. He wakes up, and he plays me these songs. He's just killing me. So I can be overbearing when I'm trying to promote something that I truly love. Maybe most people can. But I was lucky enough to have something that I truly loved. I mean, it was, like, really great. I knew I couldn't make a mistake with this guy. These lyrics, I mean, I didn't think we needed to even have a band, the E Street Band. I just said, Bruce is enough. I'm hyping Bruce and hyping Bruce. And he says, will you kindly sit down, Mr. Appel? So I sat down and he said, Bruce, why don't you play me a song? So Bruce plays him, you know, Saint in the City, like he played for me. And Hammond turns right away and he turns to me and he says, you were right. He is great. I love him. He says it like that. It's like, huh? So fast. And he says, you have any more songs? And Bruce says, yeah. He says, play them. And he starts playing some of the If I Was the Priest, and Hammond's laughing at the lyrics. And Bruce goes through like half a dozen songs, and Hammond gets up. We're all seated, all three of us. And he gets up as he goes to the door. He says, I'm going to get Clive. Consider yourselves on Columbia Records. I have the power to do that. I'm going to go get Clive Davis. But don't ask for a big, just a big, you know, royalty. And so when he went down the hall, I went to Bruce. I said, we're going to ask for both, Bruce. So don't worry about that. But he comes back with somebody who would be Willie Nelson's manager, Bonnie. But Bonnie comes in with John and sits down, and Bruce goes through a couple other songs. She says, I love him. You're right, John. He's absolutely brilliant. And so John turns to me and says, when can you have Bruce play for somewhere live so we can see him play in front of an audience? And I said, I don't know. I'll call my buddy who owns the Gaslight. So we get Bruce on comedy night that very night to play for John and for Bonnie. And Bruce comes on stage, on comedy night. He's wearing these dark glasses, and he's got these ripped up jeans and this little tattered T-shirt, and he plays some really heavy songs. The audience is blown away. They're clapping like, you know, he's Elvis. I mean, they were really into him. Because they're expecting a light evening. And they get Bruce Springsteen at his most, you know, dark time period. And he blows them literally to the moon. And Hammond is beside himself. Okay? He is beside himself. And he says, Mike, before we split, he says, bring Bruce up to our New York studios tomorrow around 1 o'clock, and I'll make sure that there's time for him. And I want him to do all these songs, and I want it all done so that everything he's got, we can put under Clive's nose the minute he walks in. I'm going to accost him. And the minute he walks in, I said, okay, great, great, let's do it. So we go up to the next day, and Bruce goes there, and he plays about, I don't know, 13 to 14 songs, and that becomes the famous Hammond tapes. And he does get a hold of Clive the minute he walks in the door. He plays his boom, and Clive is blown away. Has to go to Paul Simon's birthday party that very night, and he takes the tape with him, and he plays it for all the guests that Paul is invited to his birthday. And Paul is totally pissed because everybody loved Bruce. Everybody loved him. And Clive couldn't help himself. You know that song, "Old Lawyers in Love," with the Doctor My Eyes. Who's the guy that wrote that?
Jackson Brown.
Everybody knows that guy's
name. There you go.
Jackson Brown. And Clive was like that, "Lawyers in Love." He was in love with Bruce Springsteen, though, and it said he wanted to sign him right away, which he got a contract to my lawyer right away. And we all signed, and we were all off to the races.
You get Bruce signed, and now you go, it's time to go into the studio and track the first two records. You track the first two records. They were released both in 1973. They didn't move as much as I think people thought, and Columbia was a little bit on the fence about even keeping Bruce on the roster. One thing that I think, Mike, you did that was so amazing is that you were able to get advanced tapes of Born to Run out to key FM stations, into DJs in markets where you knew that record would pop.
There's no question. That was something else. It didn't just happen like that. What I did have, Born to Run in my hand. I had started the record. Then Columbia wouldn't let me go in. They stopped me from recording the third album. And then I didn't know what to do. So I said, Bruce, why don't we do this? Why don't you and I make an arrangement to meet with the guy? I can't remember his name now. He was the head of Columbia Promotion. He was talking to all of the promotion men when I got there. Bruce didn't even want to come up. He was a little embarrassed and a little bit sort of frightened, stage fright, if you will. And he's not a guy that has stage fright very often, I'll tell you that. But in this particular case, he wanted to wait downstairs. I said, okay, fine. Thank God he did, because he would have seen this lunatic scene with the guy I'm trying to think of. But in any case, he's on with all his promotion men, and everybody's talking to him, and everybody's going back and forth with him. And I said, maybe I should come back. What do you think? He says, Mike, nonsense. He says, let's put it on right now. So he's still talking to people while he's putting on the tape. And then Born to Run comes on. He plays it loud, too. It's not like he's playing it low so he can talk to his people. He's screaming at his people, and the thing is playing loud, too. Then the thing ends, and I said, well, what'd you think? And he has to stop his conversation even to answer me. So he said, well, I like the guitar riff, Mike, but, I didn't know too much about the... I said, well, all right, don't worry about it. I said, we'll come back with some other things, and we'll talk to you then. Steve Popovich, that's who I was thinking of. So in any case, I leave Steve's office. I go down and tell Bruce that it was a bust there. Nothing happened. He says, oh, God. He says, what are we going to do? I said, I really don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. So I said, but you go back to Asbury Park. I'm going to go back to the office. And if I think of anything, you think of anything, we'll call each other. Okay? He says, it's a deal. So he goes back to Asbury Park. Just as I'm about to enter my building, I said to myself, wait a minute. I have Born to Run. What am I afraid of? I know plenty of these guys around the country that'll go on that in a minute. Will I get 70 of them? No. If I get 5 or 6, I may do some damage, okay? So I sent out 40 or 50 of them, and I got, I don't know, like 35 or 40 of them to go on it. So it went on it like massive. Like, whoa, man, the country was playing this new FM smash hit by Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. And the kids went into the stores, and the kids couldn't buy the album, and the kids complained to the store owners, and the store owners went back to the promotion men, and the promotion men went back to Steve Popovich, to his boss, okay? You know what I mean? And I sat in my office saying, man, that's great that they all went on. Because they called me, the kid Leo, all those guys out there, called me and said, hey, we're playing this thing, man. It's killer. I love it. When's the album going to be there? I said, as soon as Columbia lets me back in the studio. I can't do anything until I do that. And what happened here is I got a call. Top guy. I never got his name. Or if it was the guy I think it was, I don't want to use his name. But he was as high in the executive hierarchy of CBS, which is above Columbia Records, as you can get. And he calls me and he says, Mike, what are you doing? And what are you thinking? I said, well, what I'm doing is I'm trying to get the record played on radio. And he says, Mike, I know what you are trying to do, and I don't like it one bit. You always have to wait till the album's in the store before you have a bright idea about the single. Didn't anybody tell you that? And I said, yes, they did. But you guys won't let me do the record so I can get that out and bring it back. And you guys can do it the way we normally do it, together. You're not listening, Mike. Click. That's that. Now I go and I tell Bruce what happened. He said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't want to think. I want to forget that conversation I just had. But I don't know that I can forget it. I don't feel good. I said, "What? Make sure you do this interview with the we got lined up tonight, Brown University, Brown University Press. Make sure you do that interview." No problem. I says, "I'll do it." So he goes to Brown University, gives the interview, and in the interview he mentions that the heads of CBS are not playing ball with him and not allowing him to go in and finish his third record. And turns out that the guy that CBS brought in to replace Clive Davis, and they were replacing Clive Davis because Clive purportedly spent money on his kid's bar mitzvah. But anyway, Clive was let go, and he was our champion. And John Hammond is not a guy that runs, promotion men and talks to them and gets them whipped up. And that's not his thing. He's a Vanderbilt. He comes to work when he wants to work, and that's it. You can't get him to do anything else. He's been there since 1929 or something. So you can't do a thing with that guy. And I knew that. But they had a new guy that they brought in from the television division, Irwin Siegelstein. So Irwin comes in, and I get a call from Irwin the next day. I said, why is this guy calling me? He doesn't even know me. Did somebody say that I wanted to get my third album going and blah, 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 blah? So I get on the phone with him. He says, Mike, Bruce badmouthed me last night. I said, what are you talking about? He said, he badmouthed me in the Brown University Press. My son goes there, and he's an avid fan of your boy, Bruce Springsteen. And I said, well, he was only telling the truth. He says, you guys are holding them back. I mean, he has a right to or you have to tell us. You're not going to do it, so we can leave and go somewhere else where they'll be happy to take us. There's no sense fighting over this. So he says, can you get Bruce and be at Mercurio's tomorrow and your lawyer there too? I said, yes, I can. I said, geez, you know what? And this was a total lie. I made this up. I said, geez, if he said that at the Brown University Press, well, I wonder what he'll say at Rolling Stone. He says, Mike, you better stop him from talking to Rolling Stone. That's all I got to say. Because if I hear anything bad, we're not going to have a good lunch tomorrow. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll take care. And, of course, there was nothing to worry about. There was no Rolling Stone interview. So I didn't have to worry about anything. The next day we get to the lunch, and he seems to be in a very good mood, Irwin Siegelstein, that is. We're walking on eggs. And he finally turns to me and he says, what do you say we get Bruce Springsteen back in the studio to do that third album of yours?
There it is.
Oh, there it is. Was that ever music, no pun intended, to our ears? My goodness.
Well, he knew what he wanted, and he got what he wanted, and America got an absolute classic album and a great career. Thanks to you, Mike. Mike, I'm so sorry we're out of time, but this is
no
just
problem.
An absolute joy for, I'm sure, both me and Ron, and continued success, and we're very much looking forward to the book.
Same to you, guys.
Thank you, Mike, so much for joining us, and what an incredible life and music you had, and congratulations and good luck to you in the future.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up with our last segment. We'll be right back.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy, just fine. We're back, and what an interesting life and history that Mike Appel had. And, you know, there was so much written and said about the difficulty of putting Born to Run together. It took them six months they spent on that song.
I think they tracked for 6 months, and then there's another 6 months to a year of mixing and mastering.
Yeah, and they threw in every instrument that is possibly recordable in a studio.
I forgot to ask Mike about the sleigh bells in Born to Run. Whose idea was that?
I don't know, but I can tell you that, you know, when you're trying to put five things together and mix them together, that's tough enough. When you put everything in the kitchen sink in there, wow. What a deal. Well, it was worth waiting for, I guess.
Yeah, from great pressure comes diamonds.
Yes. Okay, we're going to wrap this up, and I do want to cover this last piece, the elections to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, and Joe Mauer. And what I'm about to say here is nothing personal. Joe Mauer might be the greatest friend, the greatest guy, the greatest teammate you ever played with. But when you match up the metrics, both old and new, and you compare them to Todd Helton and Adrian Beltre, this is the third one out. And his career numbers, besides being a three-time batting champion, the metrics don't line up. He had 140 career home runs. I think his yearly average was 12 home runs and 80 RBIs. And yes, he did have a career batting average of .306. There's no postseason play involved in this either. So Buster Posey,
I guess you can pretty much have your statue and plaque and bronzed in Cooperstown as well. Unbelievable. I think they opened the door for a lot of critics. Look at Gary Sheffield, 500 plus home runs, still can't get into the Hall of Fame. Anyway, we have a wonderful guest coming up next week. I'm going back in time. His name is Dick Calvert, and he is the one who signed me to my first baseball contract back in 1968. And he's currently living in Las Vegas, and I'm looking to a warm reunion with him next week. So please join us, and thank you for joining us. Terrific show by Mike Appel. And Mike, you did a great job of running this whole thing.